I'm now pleased to introduce Carolyn McCullum, and she's going to talk to us today about feng shui. Welcome, Carolyn. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Molly. It's my pleasure.
First of all, let's start off by saying, how do you pronounce feng shui? That's how I say it, but I'm not sure that that's correct.
There are two correct pronunciations. The first is feng shui, and the second is feng shui. The second, feng shui, is how the Chinese generally pronounce the term, but feng shui is also accepted. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if you pronounce it one way or the other, or most people actually pronounce it feng shui. It's understanding what it's about is the most important thing rather than how you pronounce it.
Mm. Is it specifically Chinese?
It's from China originally. Mm. 3,000 years ago is when it first came into prominence. There are ancient texts going back that length of time, and it has come down through the different lineages from China. So yes, it is definitely Asian, but there is an equivalent in India, which is the Vastu Shastra, and that's very similar as well, but it started at about the same time, but in a different continent.
Hmm, very interesting. And what is feng shui? What is it actually?
Feng shui is the ancient traditional Chinese method used to understand how energy moves in our surroundings. It's also about how our environment, our buildings and their interiors affect our prosperity, abundance and well-being.
Hmm, it's interesting, isn't it? And how did you get involved in feng shui? I mean, you're obviously an Aussie.
Yes, I am a Westerner.
Yeah.
And I'm often the only Westerner in my classes. We have a lot of masters coming out from China who teach us more formulas than we currently know, which we're very privileged to have come out. And there are Westerner feng shui consultations and consultants out there, but there are a lot of Chinese ones as well. So recently when I did a course, I was the only Westerner in the course.
Gee.
I'm sitting in Sydney CBD, which was an experience. But I basically came into feng shui by having a feng shui consultant come to my home when I was looking at moving back in 2004. And she advised me not to move into the house that I had basically bought, and I had three quarters packed up my home to move into.
Gosh.
She told me some pretty terrifying things that would most likely happen if I had have moved into the home. Mainly my daughter's energy, who was three at the time, was located in the family pool, and there was a very high chance that she would drown in that home. My personal energy was located on the staircase in the new home, and there's actually no remedy for that, and it meant that I had a very high chance of undergoing a serious operation, because stairs relate to cutting your energy. That and a few other things alerted me to the fact that this wasn't a good home for us, and as a result we sold the home before we actually moved into it, took our home off the market and stayed where we were. So it was a very brutal start to my feng shui knowledge, but my philosophy is if you get experts out to tell you what you should be doing, you should actually follow that advice. So from there, I wanted to learn more about it, and I started studying in 2004 and reading a lot of books. There's a lot of things out there, and worked out that this is a very useful tool to have at your disposal, and you can really help yourself and your family and friends, which is what I did for a few years before actually starting my business in 2008 to actually help people on a professional basis.
So could you learn enough to utilize it just for yourself to look after your home and your family and so on, but you really need to have someone qualified, I guess, because that's quite a big thing to not actually move into a home.
It isn't.
And yeah,
definitely. And now that I understand what that consultant was measuring, she was 100% right. That would have been a very bad home for me to move into. I didn't know exactly why at the time, but I was willing to believe what she said. So as a result, I didn't move into that home.
Okay, so it would be something that would be definitely worth considering before you put a deposit on a house, perhaps getting a consultation and getting someone to look at it.
Absolutely. I actually have a lot of clients, I call them pre-purchase inspections. So instead of getting a full consultation, consultation done, which is around the $500 mark, people don't want to spend that when they're looking around. So what I do is for $99, I do a pre-purchase inspection where I look at the floor plan of where they're looking at moving into. I look at their birth data to see if that home is going to suit them. And then I provide them with a small report saying this is where the energy is at the entrance, because that's really important. You want to have prosperous energy at your entrance. And this is the energy in your bedrooms, because you want to also be sleeping in supportive energy in terms of your health and your relationships. So by looking at those three factors, and also where the stove is placed, which is crucial when you are in a home, that then allows them to make a decision as to whether this is a home that's going to support them in terms of feng shui regarding their prosperity, their health, their happiness, their relationships, etc. I sort of see it like when you buy a new car, you get a car inspection done. When you buy a house, you get a pest and building inspection done. If more people got pre-purchase feng shui reports done, they would save themselves an awful lot of worry in the long run.
That's fascinating. How about if the home that you're in now, what can you do there?
Yes, so I do also other types of consultations where I look at the home that people are living in, and often there is negative energy there that is causing them grief, which is why they've sought me out. So by going into the home, I can look and see where the negative energy is and remedy it using colour or furniture placement or traditional Chinese remedies. However, I tend not to use the traditional Chinese remedies, being a Westerner, and if my clients are Westerners, I don't necessarily think it's a perfect fit. You don't want people knowing that you've had your house feng shui'd. You want people to walk in and feel comfortable in your home, and whether that's by using specific colours to help remedy some negative energy or moving furniture in a certain way, letting the chi flow through the house in a certain way. I prefer to manage the energy that way rather than placing a wind chime in the middle of their lounge room hanging off their fan, for instance.
Yes, that's interesting. All right. Okay, so you would, you'd do something that would suit their lifestyle and
that's right.
culture and so on.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, very, very nice. Okay, so what's the actual philosophy behind feng shui?
Feng shui, or the philosophy behind it, I sort of explain it to my clients in terms of there are three types of energy. There is human energy or human luck, there is earth energy or earth luck, and there is human energy or human luck. And feng shui is a third of all of those lucks put together. Feng shui falls into the earth luck source. So we can manipulate our environment in terms of feng shui to help assist our prosperity, our health, our well-being. The other two lucks that are there are the human luck, which is what we're born with. It's like our destiny. It's our blueprint. It's also like our Chinese astrology or our four pillars of destiny. So it's similar to Western astrology. You're born with a certain birth date, with time, day, month and year, and that impacts on what your life's going to be like. So by looking at that and understanding what your favourable elements are, what your favourable colours are, you can do a lot to assist yourself to make sure that you're supported. So that's the heaven sort of luck that we're looking at. With regards to the human luck, that's like our karma. So that's how we treat other people comes back to us. So with my clients, I always make sure that I donate to a charity on their behalf as part of the consultation fee. At the moment, we donate to the Fred Hollows Foundation, which gives someone the gift of sight. There's also another organisation where we look at supporting women learning a trade in India so they can actually learn a trade, get a job and feed their family for life. So they're the two options that I provide my clients. They choose which charity they'd like to donate to as part of their consultation, and that helps their human luck as well. So we try and look at it from all three perspectives: their Chinese astrology, their heaven luck, their earth luck, which is the feng shui part, and then their human luck, which is the karma and the donating to charity.
Very interesting. All right. So I like that. I like that a lot. I think that's a great way to do things, give something back. There's a lot of what I believe, different schools, different methods of doing and learning the feng shui. Can you outline what they are?
There are a whole range of different schools for working out good and bad feng shui. Some schools are more recognised than others. Some schools provide better ways of doing things. things than others and get better results because of that.
Can you be more specific?
There are different schools. There is a compass school, which looks at the different directions in a home and attributes each direction to a certain thing. So the north relates to career, the southwest relates to the relationships and the mother of the home and things like that, which is a great tool to use, because if there is a missing section of the home, for instance, if your north of your home is missing, if it's an L-shaped home and the north is missing, it means that there's going to be some issue around career because that section of the home is missing. So as a feng shui consultant, I would go in and try and help heal that missing corner by placing something where that missing corner is to try and support the energy there further. So that's one school. There's also another school, which is the form school, which looks at the buildings around your building, the trees around your building, whether you have the yang side activated, which is what you want, or whether you have the yin side activated, which you don't necessarily want. Because if you have the yin side activated, it means you're not wanting to jump out of bed and have a fulfilled day. You feel quite restless and tired and not really achieving much if your yin side is greater than your yang side. You also look at the supporting structures behind your building. It's called the black tortoise, and this is where you want to have large building or large trees or a virtual mountain behind your home, because that signifies that you have that support of your friends and your family and your colleagues around you. So that's looking at the form side of things. There's also the quite complicated but excellent result-getting school, which is based on flying stars, where there are various formulas that you need to look at, which looks at the building age, the building's facing direction, and then you fly the stars a certain way in a formula, and that provides you with a blueprint that you put over the house's floor plan, and it tells you where the positive energy is and where the negative energy is. And most consultations would deal with this side of the equation, and we look at activating the prosperous energy and harmonising the negative energy, and that's what drives most feng shui consultations. That's what we want to achieve overall. There's another school called the Yin Yang School, which is not as well known in Australia. I have studied that to quite a high degree, and it's based on the formulas to do with fire and fire placement in the home. So we look at where the stove is placed, we look at where heaters and barbecues are, and we make sure that they're in prosperous positions for the family and that they're not impacting on the family in any way, the family actually living there. So the thing with this type of school is that one house might have a stove in a certain position and it's a prosperous position for one family, and then a new family moves in, but the personal energy of that new family might be where that stove is, and therefore it's not going to be a beneficial house for that family because the energy of that family member will be burnt by the stove, depending on when they're born. So that's why some houses are good. That's right. Yeah. Some houses are great for some people, but not great for other people.
Right.
There's also another school, which is probably more well known, which is called the Bagua or the Black Hat School. And this originated in the 1980s in America. And as a result, it's 30 years old compared to the traditional methods which most consultants use, which is 3,000 years old. And the unfortunate thing is, whilst this is school that is most known by people, it's actually the school which is least effective. It's in a lot of the do-it-yourself books for feng shui, how to feng shui your house. It's very, very simplified. Whilst it does contain some beneficial information, it's a little bit hit and miss. So it's not a school that is recognised by the two associations that registered feng shui consultants in Australia belong to because of that fact.
Well, what you're saying, I mean, it certainly sounds incredibly complex, and you have to take into account the people living in the home, their birth dates.
Yes.
Not just the door faces here or the stove is there.
That's right.
Yeah, a lot more to it than that.
And for many years I did practice just looking at the flying stars and the form school and the compass school, but recently, in the last few years, I have studied with the Yin Yang school, and that is definitely more to do with the individual in the house as well, which makes sense.
It does make sense, yeah, absolutely. Okay, we'll just take a little break now. We're